I'm Elizabeth Cook.
And I'm Ken Bastida, and this is your Picks Now update. A deliberate cutoff by PG&E still has thousands of people without power tonight. The utility is trying to avoid a repeat of last fall's disaster when electrical lines helped spark major wildfires. The outages are continuing right now in a half dozen communities, including three in Lake County and three in Napa County. KPIX5's Juliet Goodrich is in Calistoga, where the lights are coming back on. Juliet?
You know, they just came on in the last couple of hours here in downtown Calistoga. You can see some of the action going on behind me. It's really coming to life. A few blocks away, though, some residents are still in the dark. So was this all necessary? Well, it depends on who you talk to. Last call came early at the Calistoga Hydro Grill, 8:03 p.m. It was lights out. The owner saying he was prepared. You feel like you got a lot of warning, pre-warning?
Saturday night, I got like six of these messages and probably got two or three yesterday.
And 18 hours later, this little tourist town of Calistoga still looking like a ghost town. As a business owner, do you appreciate the preventative measures or has it been kind of a hassle?
No, we definitely support, preventative measures to keep the fire under control, but I think they went a little overboard. And power, I think, should have been on at least at sunrise this morning.
And while many will agree fire prevention measures are necessary.
But I was evacuated for a week, so I definitely don't want to experience another fire like that. So I think that, it is precautionary. I would rather not have another fire. So.
This power shutdown came with a price. Fortunately, not as dangerous or costly as fire. And this family does have a gas range.
Yogurt and like meat and everything. And I mean, on the inside, like our meat is like melting. And then we have eggs.
And for these kids, it was the East Coast version of a snow day without electronics.
And I was happy.
You were happy?
Yeah.
So what did you do today?
I slept in. And
today, PG&E crews were busy out in the field.
Looking for any damage that may have occurred to equipment. They're looking for debris that may have fallen on the lines, trees or other things that may have fallen on the lines because of the extreme weather.
And back at the hydro grill, signs of life return.
You have lights.
Yeah, power's on.
When did that happen?
About a half an hour ago.
Okay, well, then let's open up for business.
I'm waiting for staff to get here.
When are they going to get here?
Some of them said they don't want to come in.
Employees are here. Hydro Grill is now open for business, as well as a lot of the other restaurants in this area. I did ask PG&E, is this going to happen again? How often could this happen that we have another PG&E shutdown? They told me very unlikely. The weather conditions have to be extremely severe like they were last night. They don't anticipate that again. We will stand by for it. If you are still in the dark or you have a friend, family member still in the dark, expect to have the power back on by tonight or early tomorrow morning. We'll keep you updated throughout the evening. In Calistoga, I'm Juliet Goodrich, KPIX 5.
Chopper 5 is live over San Jose right now. We've had our eyes on this massive traffic backup on Highway 101 for almost 8 hours. The southbound lanes have been shut down since 10:30 this morning after a deadly crash. You can see all that red on our KPIX 5 traffic map. The closure is happening near the Brokaw Road off-ramp. The CHP says the driver of that white pickup somehow slammed into the back of a Caltrans vehicle. Look at that backup. The driver of the pickup died at the scene. His name has not yet been released. The Caltrans vehicle involved was being used as a so-called shadow truck that follows behind other Caltrans crews to keep them safe. The vehicle has a big yellow barrier on the back that's meant to withstand the blow of a major crash. Thanks to that barrier, the Caltrans worker inside that truck, both of them were not hurt. Right now, it's still unclear when the highway will be back open.
Now, this evening, we are learning that co-founder of Microsoft, Paul Allen, has died. Allen reportedly suffered complications from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. 65-year-old billionaire passed away in Seattle this afternoon. Allen was diagnosed with the same type of cancer 9 years ago, prompting him to step down as Microsoft's longtime CEO.
Paul was an engineer. He grew up wanting to build things and fix things. He was a builder. And so when he would see a problem, it could be an infectious disease problem in Africa, or it could be a problem with the coral reefs and climate change, whatever that problem might be, he had an instinct to want to go solve that.
Paul Allen had a number of ties to the Bay Area as well. A short time ago, Chopper 5 flew over his estate in Atherton. In 2013, his investment company, Vulcan Capital, opened up a branch in Palo Alto, and he funded a medical research facility based at Stanford.
The East Bay city of Antioch says it has a crisis with homelessness. They're hoping by acknowledging that, things can get better. KPIX5's John Ramos has the story.
Say the word homeless, and most people think of someone living on the sidewalk in San Francisco or Oakland. But a lot of them are moving out to towns like this, Antioch, only they're a little harder to spot. At the corner of 6th and McElhaney, things look pretty deserted. Not like they were last spring when there were dozens of tents and ramshackle dwellings. The authorities moved them out, but if you look closely, many are still here, living in the weeds.
They're everywhere, and especially here in Antioch, it's a lot of homeless people.
It's estimated there are about 350 homeless people living in Antioch, but that number is growing. And for a city with a population of 115,000, they have one shelter with only 18 beds. There will soon be $2.9 million in state money available to this part of the county, but only for a crisis situation.
So one of the requirements of the state is to make a declaration of a homeless shelter crisis in order to qualify for that funding.
That's what the city council did at its last meeting. So now Antioch officially has a shelter crisis. But that's not exactly news to Kathy and Dave Morris. They lost their home when the rent increased and have been living out in the field for a year now.
They say they're helping people out, but they're so slow at doing it. So slow.
Even if the city gets the money, they won't be building housing or even a shelter. The plan is to create a warming center with access to county services. It may be helpful, but Antioch City Manager says homelessness is too big a problem for small towns to solve on their own.
This is an issue that impacts every single life in our community and other communities, and I believe that we're all going to have to work together to solve it.
The city manager says everyone out here has a different story, but they all seem to be looking for a place with a little open space, even if it's just to pitch a tent. In Antioch, John Ramos, KPIX 5.
Yeah, Emily, it sounds like this warm weather, though, may stick around.
It is going to stick around. It's pretty much going to be a very similar story tomorrow and then on into the end of the week and on into the weekend, which if you enjoy sunny, beautiful skies, well, that's great news for you. Taking a live look out of our Salesforce Tower towards the North Bay, just look at this beautiful sunset. Not a cloud in the sky, and that's what made things nice and warm today, but it's also going to make for some chilly temperatures overnight. Our current temperature is still in the 80s in those inland areas, but look at this. Closer to the water, a little bit cooler. 69 in Oakland, San Francisco 68, dipping down into the 70s in the North Bay as well as the South Bay, and those temperatures are going to continue to tumble. The red flag warning that we saw over the last couple of days, the reason they shut that PG&E power off, well, that is starting to change. In most areas around the Bay, the red flag warning has expired. It expired at noon. However, in Solano County and in Lake County, you are still under a red flag warning. That is until 11 o'clock tonight. Just expect that there may be some dry winds, gusts up to 35 miles an hour, just critical fire conditions there. This high pressure system is what's behind that. We do have a little bit of an offshore flow in some of those areas, but for the most part, that's starting to die down as the sun sets, and we won't have as strong of an offshore flow over the next couple of days. However, this high pressure system that's in place is going to keep things clear, sunny, and warm, especially for those of you in those inland areas. So clear skies tonight make for those cool overnight temperatures. Sunny skies tomorrow again with milder temperatures closer to the water, but warm still in those inland areas with a small, you know, variant of about a few degrees. Will pretty much be the same story all the way through into the weekend. Looking at your overnight lows, 40 degrees in Santa Rosa. That's pretty chilly. In the mid-40s in those inland areas as well, we'll have a little bit warmer weather right around the Bay, 52 in Oakland, 53 San Francisco, 52 in Pacifica, dipping back down into the 40s in San Jose, 49 for your overnight temperatures tonight. Our average temperatures were pretty much right around average, maybe a few degrees here and there different, but for the most part, this is a pretty typical day and week in October. Your highs tomorrow, 67 in Half Moon Bay, 82 in Los Gatos, 75 in Fremont, a little warmer in those inland areas, 83 in Brentwood, 80 Livermore, cooler closer to the water, 78 degrees in Vallejo, and then a mix of 70s right around the bay, warming into the 80s the further north you go, 82 in Santa Rosa, and then 83 in Ukiah, Lakeport, and Clear Lake. Our 7-day forecast shows just a few degrees variance here or there, but for the most part, it's going to be sunny and clear, a little bit of fog along the coast, but absolutely beautiful weather all the way into the weekend.
An animal escape triggered an evacuation at the Sacramento Zoo. The bongo calf is now back with its mother, and reporter Angela Musalem says zoo staff are trying to make sure nothing like this happens again.
Sacramento Zoo visitors hoping to see Taylor Swift, the bongo calf, are going to have to wait a while. This bongo exhibit is now closed after the calf escaped from her enclosure Sunday.
It's incredible. It's something that never happened.
Oh my goodness. We missed it.
But the escape isn't stopping families from getting their exotic animal fix.
We love the zoo. We're there quite often, and we'll plan on continuing to go. This wouldn't deter us from stopping to go.
In fact, zoo staff says it hasn't had an animal escape from its enclosure ever.
The bongo was found almost where we're standing, I think, kind of in this general area in the public pathway.
Matt McKim is director of animal care at the Sacramento Zoo. He says the calf may have been startled by the high winds. McKim says it's likely she then jumped over this fence.
We're told she just kind of calmly looked around, saw those people, and then chose to turn and walk away from them.
Zoo staff immediately alerted visitors to evacuate the area as staff gently guided the calf back into the exhibit. McKim says the zoo is now reevaluating all exhibits with hoofed animals.
We're going to be like raising a little bit of the fence barrier, keep them from maybe going somewhere where they shouldn't be. And if we're able to provide that, that can go a long ways toward proper containment.
But a recent report by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums concluded the zoo may have to relocate to a larger space to accommodate wildlife needs. Zoogoers, including Jessica Shunk, are supporting the move and say they're grateful it wasn't a lion that leaped over the fence.
They are on display, and you want to give them the best habitat they can have in that situation. So.
And the zoo hopes to have a taller fence installed by the end of the week. Zoo officials are currently in talks with the Sacramento Zoological Society about moving to a larger facility. Reporting in Sacramento, I'm Angela Musalem for KPIX 5.
All smiles across the pond today. They're happy because a very exciting announcement was made. Another royal baby is on the way.
Just about 5 months after their wedding, Prince Harry and wife Meghan Markle are expecting their first child. Gwen Baumgartner has the latest details from London.
The baby news broke as Prince Harry and Meghan Markle arrived in Australia for their first overseas tour together.
That's fabulous. We were very pleased. Yeah. We knew it was coming soon.
Kensington Palace announced the baby is due in the spring and said royals are delighted to share the happy news with the public. Shortly after Harry and Meghan got engaged last year, the BBC asked them about having children.
Not currently, no. No, of course, you know, I think, you know, one step at a time, and hopefully we'll start a family in the near future.
Harry, I give you this ring.
Ever since their wedding at Windsor Castle in May, pregnancy rumors have swirled. Some speculated the Duchess was hiding her baby bump last Friday when she and Harry returned to St. George's Chapel to watch Princess Eugenie marry her prince.
The family of three will live here on the grounds of Kensington Palace in a two-bedroom cottage. They'll be across the street from Prince William and Kate, who have three children of their own.
They'll just be able to play together and raise their kids and have a wonderful upbringing.
Palace officials say Meghan's mother, Doria Ragland, is thrilled with the news and looks forward to welcoming her first grandchild. The baby will be seventh in line to the throne and Queen Elizabeth's eighth great-grandchild. Gwen Baumgartner, CBS News, London.
Our news continues tonight at 10 o'clock on KBCW 44 Cable 12 and at 11 on KPIX 5.
And remember to select KPIX News on your Amazon Echo.
Pix Now News is sponsored by Chevron, proud to support STEM education in the Bay Area. Meet our STEM standout, Nicole Collins-Puri.
TechBridge Girls is focusing on exciting, educating, and equipping girls to really see STEM as a vehicle to economic mobility and better life's chances. We're creating an environment that says, we see you, we hear you, and we understand your journey.
Chevron and KPIX 5, teaming up to support STEM education in the Bay Area.